Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
This is WGN. John Williams here with Paul Mercurio, a return visit from the Emmy winner for his work on The Daily Show and The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, where he currently works. He's in town for the DNC, and he has his own award-winning show, Permission to Speak, which we talked about before. I want to talk about that again and also why you're in town. Welcome back, Paul. How are you?
Great to see you.
Yeah.
How's your dog? My dog still finds me annoying. We share that.
We talked about that last time, since you and I spoke last.
Yes.
My dog died.
Oh, I'm so, jeez. Oh, God.
Let's start all over again. Hey, welcome to the show. How are you?
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
You got to ask that question off the air first, going, hey, anybody die before I bring it up on the air? My dog died.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
It was time. It's okay. We're all good.
Wow. All right. I'm a comedian, but I also double as the most depressing person on the face of the planet.
Yeah, your show, Permission to Speak, is where people come up and tell stories. I'm going to tell this story now. Yeah. I'm going to say, well, I was interviewing this guy.
Okay.
And just to say hi again, he goes, hey, how's your dog? My dog died. How do you like that?
I have the worst luck in the world. nice to see you again.
Yeah, likewise. And so last time we spent most of our time talking about your show. Let's reverse the order and this time start with why you're in town.
Hmm.
Why are you in town?
We're here with The Late Show, taping 4 shows for the DNC.
You keep saying taping.
We're filming live shows at whenever the DNC ends, and then half hour after that we tape live. We go live. And
what time did the show start last night?
It started at midnight.
I have friends that went to that show.
Yeah.
You guys didn't start until midnight.
Right, exactly. So we let people bring their pajamas and they get to sit there in their pajamas and have cocoa or whatever.
So all those clips that we're seeing on the morning shows or whatever today were done at 1 in the morning?
Yeah.
Almost 2 in the morning East Coast time.
Between 12 and 1 Central Time, we were live because we had to wait for Biden to finish. And then a half hour of local news, and then we...
So Hillary rushed over there
Rushed over, and then we need some time to get, Stephen awake because he's a big drinker. And and we slap him, throw some water in his face. So Hillary came over, have a lot of Secret Service and all of that,
man.
A lot of security. Oh, by the way, just a note for both you guys, Pete, and you, if you touch Hillary Clinton, even on the shoulder, they will tase you, just to let you know. She was very nice. She came in. She had great energy.
I suspect there is a bubble around her.
Oh,
security.
God. Yeah, there's a lot. And you've got to get, wanded and all this stuff, and there's dogs, and it's a lot. But it's really... It was so exciting, and everybody was energized. The audience was great. Everybody
were you worried about that at 1 in the morning or midnight?
A little bit. It's late. It's a Monday night. And, there were 2 or 3 people asleep drooling on themselves, but we worked around that. No, just kidding.
That's my audience. Well, so how many people does the Colbert Show bring to Chicago to do this extravaganza?
It's about 200. Yeah, it's
a lot. 200 people in hotel rooms right now.
Yeah, different. Yeah, well, we can't afford that. Some people are sleeping on the street, lower level people. The whole writing staff goes, producers go, directors, assistant directors, technical people.
So how do you write the Colbert Show when it's playing off of something that precedes your show by 30 minutes?
Basically, we're watching the show, the DNC, in real time. So earlier in the night, we'll rehearse pieces of the show that we know are set, like some interviews that are going to be done or whatever, or maybe there's a set comedy piece that's going to be done. But as far as the opening monologue, which is all fresh and new off the DNC, writers watching it in real time, coming up with material, and then by a certain cutoff time that writing stops, the segment, the comedy gets produced, meaning, need a graphic or a funny hat drawn on somebody. And then we start our pre-show at a half hour before we go live. So as soon as the DNC is done, the jokes are pretty much written of what just happened in real time so that we're extremely current.
A half hour then while everybody does local news across the country. Then you guys come on live.
Right.
But I presume you're writing more jokes than Colbert has time for. Who decides what makes the cut?
I do. I'm very important. It's ultimately Stephen and the showrunners. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. And
then it gets written. Then it gets typed up onto a teleprompter.
it gets put into a script and then put into a prompter. But sometimes you'll know, right? Like when I was writing full time on The Daily Show, sometimes you sit in a big, as a group of writers in one room and have a monitor and you're watching. Or you might watch individually. Things will jump out like, oh, he just said that. That we definitely want to do something with. And everybody will write jokes to that. And then you'll pick the best jokes. Typically what happens is, if you're a writer and I'm a writer and Pete's a writer and there's 10 writers, we all get assigned the same topics at the beginning, in a normal day when we're not filming live. And we're all going to write on those topics. And then they're just going to pick the best jokes that they think work. So it's a little bit of like, you know.
Ego involved.
Oh, we would have to sit in the writer's room and then somebody would read the jokes out loud. And you really wouldn't laugh that hard at other people's jokes because
right,
you wanted
right.
to
but
get
then yours comes up. Oh, you're
my
killing
God.
Me.
I had a laugh track.
Yeah, exactly.
And, exactly. And so. So, but this process is very different because it's live.
Are you writing in different rooms or are you all in a writer's room?
It's different rooms, but then, you know, it's sort of people are getting together too to kind of just brainstorm. Sometimes you might have something and I'm like, I'm stuck on this joke. So you brainstorm for a minute, but it all has to be timed off of the last speaker at the DNC. And we can't cut out of the DNC to start taping because the most important speaker is last and you don't want to miss something great that they said, and then you look dated, you know, as a show.
Boy, that's a lot of pressure, though, isn't it? I mean, so you guys have to write, be funny, and Colbert has to deliver it well with really no time in between.
Yeah, he doesn't have really a lot of rehearsal time with the material.
Well, in that pre-show, is that just somebody warming up the audience, or is that a rehearsal?
Yeah, that would be me. I go out in the pre-show.
Do you sometimes?
Yeah I'm going to be there tonight. Yeah,
and you'll tell some shtick.
It's really the basis for my Broadway show, Permission to Speak. I talk to the audience because you can't do jokes in a warm-up. There's too much going on. Bright lights, studio, people are moving around, and there's a reason stand-up is done in with like a pinpoint spotlight. It's a spoken word. It's dark. So I found it's about three things have to happen in the warm-up. You have to get them to understand that they need to participate in the show and not watch it like they're watching TV, right? Because when we watch TV at home, even if it's funny, we're kind of laughing in our head because our mind is somewhere else. Like, I'm in a loveless marriage. And the other thing they have to do is just have a lot of laughs and have fun and be boisterous with that and be energized. So I find talking to them and then getting stories from them is the best way.
So you'll do that permission to speak a little bit with the crowd?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, which talk about a high wire act. Talking to Paul Mercurio, our friend, the Emmy winner for his work on The Daily Show and The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. He has his own show, Permission to Speak. Where are you doing that show, by the way?
Al Larson Prairie, a Center for the Performing Arts in Schaumburg.
Oh, the Center for Performing Arts in Schaumburg, and that's Friday.
It's this Friday.
So when you're done with your Colbert obligations,
I head out
your
to
own
a hotel there with my crew, and we set up our set. We have a really cool set, rear projection animation set designed by the set designer for The Late Show, 23 Emmy Awards. We have animation of that reflects some of the themes of the show done by J.J. Settlemeyer, who did Beavis and Butthead, all the SNL TV Funhouse. So it's a real, like, theater experience. I come out in sequins. It's fabulous.
Yes, and a guitar.
And a cape. And
Back to Colbert for just a second, because it's in my hand. John, my daughter and I have tickets to the Thursday night Colbert Late Show in Chicago. We thought we should get to the theater at 4 p.m. for a show at 8 or 10. If the show starts at midnight, what time should we arrive at the theater? You'll get an email from...
You get an email, and the time is in there. You have to be there at the time.
And it will be way early.
Right. So it'll be. I'm doing this off the top of my head. I think your email, man, probably says like 8 or 9-ish in that time. You have to come and sign in, because if you don't, then they'll give the tickets away, because we can't have just people come in when they want and run the risk that there are empty seats, because Stephen will fire you. He's a very mean person. He's evil. He can start fires with his mind. So you will sit and watch the DNC in the theater, and then the show will start.
As you're waiting.
As you're waiting, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder if the show starts. What time should we arrive at the theater? Right. Thursday night, by the way, on The Late Show, Mavis Staples and Jeff Tweedy. Wow. You guys have really...
That's one of the fun things about doing a show like this on the road is you get to get guests that you maybe won't get. Either they don't want to come to New York or at a DNC where you get, like, on Monday night, last night, Julie Louis-Dreyfus, Hillary Clinton. So it's really cool. By the way, the person that asked about the tickets, if you're coming, if you want to bring, like a apple pie would be nice. Have like a little snack while I'm working.
You guys are just like us, aren't you?
The catering's pretty good. I'll tell you that. That's pretty good.
Is it? Have you been eating well in town?
At the show, yeah. And
backstage,
they take care of you. Yeah, like it's great.
What are you getting? Beef sandwiches? Pizza?
We got some really great barbecue, and then we got the hot dogs from what's the famous one?
Wiener Circle?
The other one with the pickles on it.
Those are Chicago dogs.
Chicago dogs. I can't remember who they were fantastic.
Yeah. Well, didn't Stephen tape a thing at the Wiener Circle?
He did. He did the Wiener Circle thing, yeah.
Which is funny because if you ask us from Chicago, okay, what are they going to, what will be the touchstone points of Chicago? Italian beef, pizza, the Bears, talk like the Bears, the Wiener Circle, Malort. Those are sort of the things that all of the shows are sending back to the rest of the world. For us, it's very pedestrian.
Right.
We've heard all the Italian beef sandwich jokes.
Yeah, exactly.
But you guys are doing it for people in California, New York.
Yeah, so. And people are watching around the world online and stuff like that. But yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's like you get those touchstones. That's like, and I'm Italian. I appreciate it. 100% Italian. Got the Italian, stereotypical Italian family. My cousin Bobby runs numbers in Rhode Island. He does. And he sells stuff out of the trunk of his car. Like 2 weeks ago, he was selling suits, ratchets, and car alarms out of the trunk of his car. It gets better. Car alarms that he stole out of other people's cars. and so he's that kind of guy.
I never know how much of you to believe, but I also don't want to know how much of you to believe.
No, that's true.
So I'm just going to let that go. That's a true story.
Yeah.
Well, when you have people tell stories at your show, so the idea is that there's an audience there. You've got your own material, but then you're going to ask people to come up and tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you select who it is that has a good story or a funny story to tell?
It's completely random. Nothing's planned. I don't know who I'm going to pick until I walk out. And so basically, I'm doing stand-up. It's a stand-up show, and I also tell stories from my life. But then we have a twist where we get the audience involved beyond crowd work. Crowd work is like I talk to you about your hat, and then I make fun of your hat and move on. It's not that. It's a real conversation with people.
How long would a conversation go?
Some can go 15, 20 minutes with
really?
One person. Yeah, because people have interesting lives.
Yeah, but I mean... Sometimes you could go 5 or 6 minutes and go, wow, this isn't going to be a great story. And you're asking the audience to be that patient.
Yeah, but the powers that be what reward you for your patience because you get to a great story. I'm talking to a guy, you look like you're in a bad mood. What happened? I broke up with my girlfriend. Why? What happened? I told her not to shoplift at CVS. I go, wait, did you just say at CVS? He goes, yeah, I taught her how to shoplift. But I told her to only shoplift at nice places. The place is going crazy at this point.
Is this a true story?
This is a true story. These are all true. We have clips that all of these clips are real. These people aren't put-ons. It's just people I bring on stage.
Hey, John Williams, I saw your guest last winter in Skokie. He was great. So what's your hit-miss ratio, would you say, on these stories? A hit is a story that you'll tell again on the radio, and a miss is one that was fine, but...
I want to say it's 90-10.
Really?
Yeah. And it's not because of me. It's because of them. And I mean that. It's not false modesty. Everybody listening has a story over the age of 5. You have a story. And I say this in the opening monologue. Some people want to tell their story, and some people need to tell their story. They want to be heard. And so what ends up happening is you just start talking. You're married. How long have you been married? How did you meet? And then it just leads to these answers.
Are they always funny, these interactions? Yeah. Or is this suffice if it's just a fascinating story?
Sometimes it's just fascinating. Like, it's just, like, really interesting. And that's okay, too, And so I had a woman. I said, how did you guys end up getting married? She goes, well, we were dating. We weren't going to get married. We're older. And then we found out that he was sick with leukemia. And I said, we're going to get married. We got married in 24 hours in the hospital. And there was a fire in the hospital. And I got married in the cancer ward of the hospital. And it ended with the guy going, I was wearing the gown. And the place went crazy.
Yeah.
So it had a... perfect ending, and it was real. And yeah, and like I said, we have clips we can play. I don't know if we have time, but
we don't.
But there, it's a really cool, fun. And if you don't want to tell stories, you just want to hang and watch and listen, that's fine too. But
one last observation for me, then, if I will.
Yeah.
And that is, it must be very affirming to these people. How nice to have their story told, recognized, cheered, or applauded.
It is. And I think what happens is they know that I'm not there to compromise them. I'm not there. But it's also not, Frank Oz is my director, and he's the original Yoda, which, by the way, is a nightmare because he still talks backwards. He won't stop. You go to a diner, omelet I will have. I get it, Frank, you're Yoda. No, but why he got involved is he feels like we need a show like this. It's a show where the premise is we're disconnected and divisive at times. If we get together and share stories, we realize we have more in common than we think, and maybe we're not so different. And so what happens is they know I'm not going to be mean, so they'll just feel relaxed, like they're talking to a friend with a bunch of friends, and that's what it ends up feeling like. You're hanging out in somebody's basement telling stories.
It's going to be in Schaumburg at the Center for Performing Arts, Paul Mercurio's Permission to Speak, 7:30 p.m. You can get tickets at prairiecenter.org. prairiecenter.org. That's this Friday night at 7:30.
It's great to see you again.
Yeah.
And thanks for having me.
Well, say hi to the gang. Maybe I'll see you tonight. I'll be up there in the rafters somewhere.
Okay. Well, you're going to text me when you come, and I'll come find you. You ain't going to be in the rafters, buddy.
Okay. Well, that's nice to hear.
I got
Good to see Paul Mercurio.